Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Clement Ojugo, understanding and responding to fear and adversity through worship and love.
You will see the wonders. You will see how God opens up the doors for you. It's a lot of people are going through all kinds of issues in their lives, at our health, financial, family, children, colleagues at work. You will see peace. You will find peace if you just stay connected through what we're talking about today.
Clement Ojugo next. Clement Ojugo isn't a theologian or a pastor. Rather, his background is in managing hotels. He also authors books, and coming up, Spencer Dahlke talks with him about his latest book, Fear Factor, a guide to overcoming adversity through faith and love. This discussion will explore some biblical wisdom which helps conquer the paralyzing force of fear in our lives.
We have a number of theologians come on our program, of course, to talk about some of these biblical concepts of like fear and faith. And I just noticed that, you know, you're a hotel general manager. It's not something we equate with someone who thinks often about fear and these biblical concepts. So what is this book and what prompted you to write it?
Fear Factor is actually an extension to the book that I published last year called Destined for Greatness. Destined for Greatness is a book that I wrote for my son, who was going through a lot of challenges in life. He couldn't find his purpose. So I brought him on to co-author the book with me. Today, he's doing very well. So Destined for Greatness is a guide to overcoming adversity and self-discovery. So Fear Factor is an extension to that. We all have fears, but at the end of the day, you have to stay focused, face your challenges with resilience and hope, and trust that God Almighty is watching.
Is there a specific fear in your own life that you've had to battle against?
Yes, Spencer. The fear of losing my son, for example. He was into all kinds of really bad things. And the poem that Rudyard Kipling penned in 1895 remind me, actually is the basis of the first book, Destined for Greatness. And it reads, "If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting or be lied about, don't deal in lies. Or be hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dream your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you have spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to, broken, and stoop and build them up with one and twos. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose, and start again at your beginning, and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart, and nerve, and sinew to serve your turn, long after they are gone, and so hold on, when there's nothing in you, except the will which says to them, hold on. And if you can talk with crowds, and keep your virtue, or walk with kings, nor lose your common touch. If neither foes or loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minutes with 60 seconds worth of distant wrong, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son." Rudyard wrote that 1895, and that was the basis of Destined for Greatness. Now, Fear Factor is all about the fears that I have of losing my son. And I expanded on it to include the challenges we're facing in life. And Paul talked a lot about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul talked about love, and it defined it very clearly. And that became one of the things that really kept me going. Also, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. That chapter itself, and also love is patient. It is kind. That is 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. That's my guiding principle, my friend.
Reminds me too of 1 John 4:18 talks about there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. It just seems a good place to start, obviously, especially, you know, as Christians. The Apostle John writes about fear having to do with judgment. God being a holy God, you know, there is a day appointed when he will judge the world. And yet, for those in Christ, we know that the love of God covers that. And so we don't have to fear about that. So how has the gospel uniquely impacted your view of fear and helped you battle it? And would you have any particular wisdom to share with us to that point?
The gospel actually is the foundation of my living. Very simply, the Rudyard Kipling poem I read to you earlier, if you really look at from top to bottom, it seems to me it's like God speaking to me as his son, that if you can do that, if you can do this, you'll be a man. It just reminds me of the instructions probably gave to his son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to come and live with us and recover us from our sins to him. The gospel is a foundation of everything that we really do. And without it, we cannot manifest ourselves, the gift that he put in us, without the gospel. It's very, very important. Because if you think about the world we live in today, it is a gift that makes people to seek you. They don't really look for you. They look for your gift. God gave all of us gift. He gave the tree a gift, the seed. He gave even the bird gift to fly, the fish to swim. Everyone has a gift, and we all have to manifest it. And it's inside us. If I didn't write this book, you would not have found me, Spencer. It's a gift God gave to me to share. The foundation, again, of our existence, I believe, is in Emmanuel, the Bible, the scripture. You and I were talking about love earlier. Love has helped me to really dispense a lot of my fears. And Paul said it so well. Love is patient. It is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others because it's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It doesn't keep record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. These verses and the one you mentioned earlier anchored me and really helped me to dispense a lot of the fears I have of my family. Is there something going to go wrong? You know, the society we live in today, we have to be very careful, and we have to make sure that we're in tune with our Father Almighty. True prayer, true worship, through having a dialogue with someone like you, Spencer, is key to all of this.
I will say, you know, as much as the apostle writes about fear having to do with judgment, only God is the one who actually has that right to judge and determine right from wrong and, you know, kind of make these sorts of decisions. Humanly speaking, here in this world, what do you think fear is? Where does it come from? And how has your understanding of it changed from the time you started writing this book to now?
I look at fear now as an illusion. Fear is an illusion. So once you know, who said it last time? I think one of the presidents actually said that fear in itself is a fear. I think it's FDR. He said something along those lines. I think I actually penned him, quoted him in my books. Fear decide a lot of our habits, and our habits decide our future. A lot of people use alcoholism or even drugs, or whatever they use, to suppress their fear of whatever they are going through. Those habits that they develop because to suppress whatever internally they are going through, really, in many, many ways, decide their future. And the answer is really in the Bible. And it's in people like you having a colleague like you that you can always talk to and not rely on the substance of the world. Because if we look into the word for support, we're not going to get it. And it's very, very clear. The answer to all the issues going on in the world, and there's nothing new in the world, actually. Nothing is new. They're all in the book, the Bible. I call it a manual. To many extent, it's medicine. It's just how do you apply it to your life? That's the key. So I talked about, again, the habit, deciding our future. Not us, actually, deciding our future. It's the habit that we develop. And the habit we develop, in some cases, we are using it to suppress issues that we have that we don't want to face, which we can easily address by going to Jesus and giving it to Jesus. But we don't. So we rely on this substance, alcoholism, gambling, whatever it is. That habit itself is what shape or decide our future, which is wrong. And that's what I see in many, many young people, including my son. And I'm very thankful today that it's like 180 degrees turnaround from the time we published the book last year to now. And I give thanks to our Father Almighty for making that happen.
My guest today is Clement Ojugo. He is a hotel general manager and chief financial officer for Big Bear Resort and the author of Fear Factor, A Guide to Overcoming Adversity Through Faith and Love. For all the good things that we have in America, I'm glad you raised that point because your subtitle talks about this book being A Guide to Overcoming Adversity. And we don't really think about We can think about fear coming from any number of, you know, sources, like a more powerful figure not knowing what is going to happen next. But you talk about adversity, trying to control our lives, like you were saying, alcoholism, substance abuse, these sorts of things that life just gets hard sometimes, doesn't it? And I suppose maybe we turn to these things to try to control and eliminate this fear on our own. Do you think that's true? And is there biblical stories, biblical figures that served as examples for how to deal with fear in a more healthy fashion?
I think of King David. You look at somebody like him. When everybody was afraid to fight the Goliaths, and he said, no, with the power of Almighty God, yes, I'll kill him. This was a young lad. He jumped out there and striked him. That was it. And throughout his life, of course, he fell into a lot of other temptations. But again, how did he pull himself out of those temptations and sins that he committed? It's through his faith, his connection with our Father. That's how he was able to survive that. And it's a very good example for me. Very good example for me for him to be able, as a human, to committing the sin that he committed, and be able to recover. Somebody God referred to us after my own soul. So it's a very good example for me. And I also look at Father Abraham. His belief, his anchor in God, in his mind, look, if God is asking me to go and kill my only son, he's going to recover him. He's going to bring him to life. So it's no problem. I'll do it. Only son. But again, this idea, the faith, you have to develop this faith and this trust in our Father. Because it's really, that's what it boiled down to. If you can do all this, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs, if you can do that, if you can do this, if you can do that, at the end, just anchor your faith in Him. In the morning, my advice to my family, pray, ask for guidance for the day before you even do anything, before you go to sleep. Do the same. Thank Him. Worship Him with your spouse, on your own. Very, very important. And be reflective of the good things in our life. And also pray for one another, because the devil is here to really do all kinds of damages to us. Right now, Spencer, we are talking. He's not happy in his mind right now. What are these people talking about? They're talking about Christ. They're talking about God. They're going to go and talk and broadcast this? No. He's afraid. He does not want us to talk about our Father. He wants to keep us where we are. I mean, if I have a problem, let's say I have alcoholism, or even let's say pornographic is another thing that is very common with men today. Talk about it. Get out of the closet. Get out of the skeleton. And so That's very, very important, because all of these things we think God doesn't know. He knows everything about us. He's our creator. So it's always very important to stay connected. And the best way to stay connected is through prayer and worship. And if you're looking for information on how to pray, the book of the Psalms. 5 chapters every day, you finish the entire chapter in a month. If you're looking for wisdom, Proverbs. Just 1 chapter every day, 1 chapter every day. Use it as a devotion. 1 chapter of Proverbs. 5 chapters of the book of Psalms. You finish all that in a month, and we need it. Psalm helps you with prayer and connection and worship.
I understand that you put certain exercises, prayers, practices into your book. Are there specific ones that you have heard from your readers or you have tried yourself that have been particularly meaningful for trying to center ourselves, focusing on getting our strength from our relationship with God?
Yeah, we talked about love. Psalm 23, it anchors me. And let me see if I can actually just find it very quickly. Because I tell you, I quoted all these chapters from the Bible because they are the reason why I'm here today. To me, this is one of the keys. If anyone is looking for keys to dispense fear, King David wrote this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Restore my soul. He led me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou with me. Thy rod and thy staff, thou comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To your question, these passages, I connect very quickly with our Father with some of these passages in the Bible. And I also connect quickly through music. Phil Wickham, I think, sang a song on this. Those worship musics, you get quick connection. It's like your antenna to the heavenly realm is activated very quickly. For those who are seeking, having difficulties connecting, what music are you listening to? What movies are you watching? What kind of books are you reading? Because if you know who you are as a son or daughter of God, connect through the scriptures, connect through the right kind of music, connect through the right kind of movies. For me, if I go to the library or a bookstore, because I know who I am, it doesn't take me too long to find what I'm looking for, because I don't go through, I don't spend too much time chasing and looking at everything. And I know exactly why I'm actually go exactly to things that I'm looking for. For those people who doesn't have anchor in their life, they're always shifting. Once you know who you are and you know your vision, you know your purpose, you know exactly what not to bring in into your system. I don't bring a lot of stuff into my system. When I say my system, my heart, because I can dispense all of that. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of noise out there. But the correct noise is what I just read just now. For any one of you that are listening, it's key that you stay focused on what is important. Not everything is good for you. My gift may not be your gift. And how do you find your gift? Because it's inside you. God gave it to all of us. Find that gift. Manifest it. Don't start chasing after money. Chase your gift. Find what God put inside you. And people like Spencer, who I'm talking to right now, will find you. They will talk to you. And stay connected. Because then you'll find peace in your life. You'll find joy in your life.
I suppose that's why God gives us church to be part of and share our gifts with each other and be this like community of God's people. And you talked about listening to music. And so I thought a fun one to just ask would be like, if Fear had a soundtrack, like a theme song, what would it be? And what kind of music would you play to kick it out?
I'll play Phil Wickham, Psalm 23. It's so powerful. If you guys have not listened to it, Google it. It's there. It will kick out the fear. And the way he actually demo it, I spoke not too long ago, actually, and I used Phil Wickham's Psalm 23 as a backdrop. It's one of those key music that I listen to all the time. I myself, I play sax. I tingle with sax and play a lot of hymn music. Yes, I do listen to classical, but a lot of my music to get me grounded, I get connected spiritually. It's really the hymns. And I got to tell you, if you play some of this music and then you really internalize it, you will see the wonders. You will see how God opens up the doors for you. It's a lot of people are going through all kinds of issues in their lives, and our health, financial, family, children, colleagues at work. You will see peace. You will find peace if you just stay connected through what we're talking about today.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Hotel General Manager Clement Ojugo, author of Fear Factor, A Guide to Overcoming Adversity Through Faith and Love. Thanks for listening, and I hope you can join us again on Monday at this same time for another edition of His People.